Shattered Bloodlines. Chapter 1. The Seed of Doubt. Robert sat on the patio, cradling his coffee cup as the morning sun painted the sky in soft hues of gold and pink. Timmy's laughter echoed from the yard where he played with his toy truck, his blue eyes bright and full of life. Across the table, Margaret sifted through a stack of mail, her face relaxed but distant. Robert should have felt at peace in this moment. The chirping of birds, the scent of freshly cut grass, and the warmth of the sun. It was the kind of idyllic morning he once cherished. But something gnawed at him, a whisper in the back of his mind that had grown louder over time. Timmy didn't look like David. He didn't look like anyone in their family. Robert shook his head, telling himself it was a ridiculous thought. Kids could look like distant relatives, or sometimes their features simply didn't align with their immediate family. Yet, the feeling of unease persisted, creeping into his thoughts whenever he looked at the boy. "Are you even listening to me?" Margaret's voice cut through his reverie. She waved an envelope in his direction.
"Hmm?
What is it?" Robert asked, snapping out of his thoughts. Margaret sighed, exasperated. "I said the contractor is asking for another payment. Emily mentioned it last night. Something about delays with the plumbing." Robert barely registered her words. His eyes wandered back to Timmy, who had now abandoned his truck in favor of chasing a butterfly across the lawn. His unruly blonde curls glinted in the sunlight.
"Doesn't he remind you of your cousin Jeremy?"
Margaret asked suddenly, following Robert's gaze. Robert stiffened.
"What?"
"Jeremy," Margaret repeated. "He had those same curls when he was little. Maybe Timmy got them from him. Genetics are funny like that." Robert forced a nod, though his mind raced. He hadn't thought about Jeremy in years. Could that explain it? Still, it didn't account for the boy's striking blue eyes. Robert's family all had dark eyes, as did David. Emily's were hazel. Blue didn't make sense. That evening, as the household settled into its usual rhythm, Robert found himself alone in the study. He stared at the family photo on his desk, a candid shot from Timmy's second birthday party. David had hoisted Timmy onto his shoulders, both of them grinning from ear to ear. Emily stood beside them, her arm looped through David's, her smile radiant. Robert picked up the photo, scrutinizing it. Something about it felt off, but he couldn't place what. The seed of doubt, once a fleeting thought, had taken root and grown into something he could no longer ignore. Reaching for his phone, Robert hesitated. He knew what he was about to do was drastic, invasive even. But wasn't it his duty to protect his family? If there was even the slightest chance that Timmy wasn't David's son, didn't he have a right to know? His hands trembled as he searched for a local DNA testing service. The process was straightforward: a quick swab, a small fee, and the truth delivered in a matter of days. Robert reasoned that it was better to know than to live with the uncertainty gnawing at him. The following morning, Robert seized his opportunity. Emily had taken David's car to run errands, leaving Timmy at home. Margaret was busy in the garden, her back turned to the house. "Hey, buddy," Robert called, crouching to Timmy's level as the boy played with his blocks.
"Can Grandpa borrow your cheek for a second?"
Timmy giggled, oblivious to the tension in Robert's voice. He complied easily as Robert swabbed the inside of his cheek, then patted his grandson's head, forcing a smile. "Good boy," Robert murmured, though his chest felt heavy. The guilt lingered as he sealed the sample in its container, but he pushed it aside. This wasn't about Timmy, it was about the truth. Days turned into weeks as Robert waited for the results, his anxiety growing with each passing day. He avoided eye contact with Emily, unsure if his suspicion showed in his expression. Margaret remained blissfully unaware, her days occupied with garden projects and charity meetings. When the envelope finally arrived, Robert's hands trembled as he tore it open. His eyes scanned the words, his breath catching in his throat. "No genetic relation detected." The words hit him like a blow to the chest. His vision blurred as anger, disbelief, and betrayal surged through him. He read the results again, hoping he had misunderstood. But the message was clear. Timmy wasn't his grandson. Robert sat back in his chair, his mind racing. How could this be? Emily had always seemed devoted to David, the perfect wife and mother. Yet, the evidence was irrefutable. She had betrayed his son, his family. And now,
She was living under his roof, pretending everything was fine. He clenched his fists, his jaw tightening. She needed to be confronted, and she needed to be confronted now. The confrontation began subtly. Robert approached Emily in the living room that evening, his voice calm but cold. "Emily, can we talk for a moment?" he asked, his eyes boring into hers. "Of course," she replied, setting aside the book she was reading. "What's on your mind?" Robert pulled the DNA results from his pocket and handed them to her. "Care to explain this?" Emily's brow furrowed as she took the paper. Her confusion quickly turned to shock as she read the results. "Robert, what is this?" she stammered. "It's a DNA test," he said, his voice hard. "I had Timmy tested. He's not David's son." Emily's face went pale. "You did what? How could you? How could I?" Robert interrupted, his voice rising. "How could you? How could you betray David like this? Betray all of us?" "I didn't betray anyone," Emily shot back, her voice shaking with a mix of anger and fear. "I have never been unfaithful to David. Never. I don't know what this test says, but it's wrong." "The test doesn't lie," Robert said, his tone icy. "So why don't you tell me who Timmy's real father is?" Their argument grew louder, echoing through the house. Timmy, sensing the tension, peeked around the corner, his eyes wide with confusion. Emily quickly ushered him upstairs, her heart pounding. When she returned, Margaret was standing in the doorway, her face a mask of shock. "What's going on?" she asked, her voice tense. Robert turned to her, holding up the DNA results. "I had Timmy tested. He's not David's son. And Emily refuses to tell the truth." Margaret's expression faltered, just for a moment, but it was enough for Emily to notice. The older woman quickly composed herself, her voice cold and detached. "Emily," Margaret said, crossing her arms. "If Timmy isn't David's child, you have no place in this house. Pack your things and leave." Emily stared at her, stunned. "You can't be serious. You're kicking us out over this." Margaret avoided her gaze, focusing instead on tidying the room. "You heard me. You and Timmy need to leave. Tonight." Emily's hands shook as she grabbed her phone and dialed David. "You need to come home. Now." Chapter 2, Cracks in the Foundation. David walked into the house with a puzzled expression, his tie slightly loosened and the weariness of a long day evident in his posture. He had barely stepped inside when Emily rushed to him, her voice trembling with urgency. "David, thank God you're here," Emily said, clutching his arm. Her eyes were red, her face pale. "You won't believe what's happening." David glanced at her, confused, then looked over her shoulder to see his parents in the living room. Robert stood by the fireplace, his arms crossed tightly over his chest, his expression unreadable. Margaret sat stiffly on the couch, avoiding eye contact with everyone in the room. "What's going on?" David asked, his voice cautious. Robert stepped forward, holding the now crumpled DNA results in his hand. "What's going on?" he said, his voice heavy with accusation, "is that I had Timmy tested. He's not my grandson." David froze, his eyes darting between his father and his wife. "What are you talking about?" "I'm saying Timmy isn't your son," Robert continued, his voice rising. "Emily has been lying to you." David's face twisted in disbelief. "That's absurd. Emily, tell me this isn't true." Emily grabbed David's hands, tears streaming down her face.
"It's not true, David. I swear to you, it's not true. I've never cheated on you. Timmy is your son.
I don't know why that test says otherwise, but it's wrong." David hesitated, his trust in Emily battling with the weight of his father's accusation. "Dad, why would you even do this? Why would you test Timmy without telling us?"
"Because someone had to," Robert snapped. "Look at him, David. He doesn't look like you. He doesn't look like any of us."
David took a step back, his face pale. "That doesn't prove anything." "It does when the DNA says otherwise," Robert countered, thrusting the results into David's hands. David scanned the paper, his hands trembling. He felt as though the ground beneath him had shifted. His vision blurred as he tried to make sense of what he was reading.
This doesn't make sense," David muttered, looking up at Emily. "How could this happen?"
"It didn't,"
Emily cried, her voice breaking.
"David, you know me. You know I'd never. Margaret interrupted, her tone sharp.
David, stop pretending. The facts are right in front of you. Timmy isn't your child. Emily needs to leave.
David turned to his mother, stunned.
Mom, how can you say that?
This is Emily we're talking about. Margaret's face hardened, though her eyes betrayed a flicker of unease.
This isn't about Emily. It's about the truth. If she's been unfaithful, she doesn't belong here.
Emily's hands balled into fists. You've wanted me gone from the start, haven't you? She snapped.
Ever since David and I got married, you've been waiting for a reason to push me out.
That's enough. Robert bellowed, his voice echoing through the room.
This isn't about Margaret. This is about you lying to my son.
David raised his hands, trying to regain control of the situation.
Everyone, stop. Just stop.
The room fell silent except for Timmy's soft cries upstairs. Emily's heart broke at the sound, but she forced herself to stay strong. She looked at David, her voice soft but firm.
David, please. You have to believe me. I've never betrayed you.
Timmy is your son. David stared at her, his expression unreadable. Finally, he spoke, his voice low and pained.
I don't know what to believe right now.
Emily's breath caught in her throat.
David.
Margaret stood and began gathering Emily's belongings. I think it's best if you and Timmy leave, she said, her tone cold.
Emily turned to David, desperation in her eyes.
You're letting them do this? You're letting them throw us out?
David hesitated, his gaze dropping to the floor.
I need time to think, Emily. I need to figure out what's going on.
Emily's shoulders sagged, the weight of his words crushing her. She turned and stormed upstairs, tears streaming down her face. She found Timmy huddled in his room, clutching his favorite stuffed animal. She scooped him into her arms, whispering soothing words as she packed their things. An hour later, Emily stood on the front lawn, clutching Timmy and a hastily packed suitcase. The chill of the night air bit at her skin as Margaret and Robert stood in the doorway, watching her with cold indifference. David lingered behind them, his face shadowed and conflicted.
You'll regret this, Emily said, her voice trembling with anger and heartbreak.
All of you.
With that, she walked to her car, strapped Timmy into his seat, and drove away. She didn't know where she was going, but she knew she couldn't stay there. Her mind raced as she tried to make sense of what had happened. The DNA test had to be wrong.
It had to be.
Emily checked into a nearby motel, the dimly lit room feeling as cold and unwelcoming as the accusations she had just faced. Timmy had fallen asleep, his tiny chest rising and falling peacefully, blissfully unaware of the storm raging around him. Emily sat at the small table, her laptop open in front of her. She searched for information about DNA testing, her mind desperate for answers. She read about accuracy rates, testing methods, and potential errors. One article caught her attention, a section about blood types and inheritance patterns.
Her heart skipped a beat.
Blood types. She remembered David's blood type, O negative.
Timmy's was O negative too.
But Robert's. She had overheard Margaret mention once that Robert was AB positive.
That didn't make sense.
A child couldn't inherit O negative from an AB positive parent. Emily's eyes widened as realization dawned. The test wasn't wrong, but it wasn't her or Timmy who had been dishonest. Robert wasn't David's biological father. Chapter 3, Threads of Deception. Emily leaned back in her motel chair, her mind racing. The revelation about Robert wasn't just a surprise, it was explosive. If her suspicions were correct, the DNA test hadn't exposed her supposed infidelity. Instead, it had unveiled a decades-long lie buried within David's family. She stared at the notes she had scribbled on the motel's notepad, her handwriting shaky from adrenaline.
David, O negative.
Timmy, O negative. Robert, AB positive. The science was undeniable. Robert couldn't be David's father. Her hands trembled as she clutched her phone. She could call David right now and lay it all out, but the raw betrayal she had felt earlier still stung. He hadn't defended her. He had stood there and let his parents cast her out like a stranger.
No.
If she was going to confront him, she needed to be fully prepared. She needed proof that couldn't be dismissed. Taking a deep breath, Emily packed her laptop and notes and decided her next step. She was going to the DNA testing center herself. She needed to confirm her findings and ensure there was no mistake. The receptionist at the testing center greeted her with a polite but indifferent smile. The sterile lobby, with its fluorescent lighting and muted colors, felt clinical and impersonal. Emily approached the counter, clutching Timmy's test results. "I need to speak with someone about a DNA test," she said, her voice steady despite the storm raging inside her. The receptionist nodded. "Do you have an appointment?"
"No, but it's urgent," Emily replied.
"I think there's been a mistake in the test." After a few moments, she was led into a small consultation room. A technician entered, his white lab coat crisp and spotless. He introduced himself as Dr. Carter and sat across from her, his expression professional but kind. "What seems to be the issue?" Dr. Carter asked, glancing at the results she had placed on the table. Emily hesitated before speaking. "This test says that my son and his grandfather share no DNA. But I'm certain my son's father is who I say he is." Dr. Carter nodded thoughtfully. "DNA tests are highly accurate, but there can sometimes be misunderstandings about what they reveal. Let me take a look." He studied the results carefully, his brow furrowing. "These results are conclusive. Your son does not share genetic markers with the man tested as his grandfather." However, he paused, his eyes narrowing slightly. "What is it?" Emily asked, leaning forward. "This is unusual," Dr. Carter said. "According to these results, the supposed grandfather has an AB positive blood type. If the child's father has O negative, it would be impossible for this man to be the biological grandfather." Emily's heart pounded in her chest. "So it's not me. It's them." Dr. Carter nodded. "It would seem so. If the blood types are correct, the man listed as the grandfather cannot be genetically related to your son, or to his father." Leaving the testing center, Emily felt a mixture of vindication and anger. She hadn't done anything wrong, yet she had been humiliated, accused, and cast out. And now she had evidence that Robert wasn't who he claimed to be. The look on Margaret's face during the confrontation suddenly made sense. She had known. She had always known. Emily decided it was time to confront David. She couldn't let this lie fester any longer, not when it had already torn her family apart. She drove to his workplace, a modest construction site on the outskirts of town. She parked and waited, her anger simmering beneath the surface as she watched him direct his crew. When David spotted her, his face registered surprise, then a flicker of guilt. He approached her cautiously, wiping his hands on his jeans. "Emily," he began, his tone guarded. "What are you doing here?" "We need to talk," Emily said, her voice firm.
"Now."
David sighed, glancing over his shoulder at his co-workers before leading her to a quieter spot near the edge of the site.
"What's this about?"
Emily pulled the notes from her bag and held them out.
"This. It's about this."
David frowned as he took the paper. His eyes scanned the information, his brow furrowing deeper with each passing second.
"What is this?"
"It's the truth," Emily said, her voice steady despite the emotion bubbling beneath the surface. "Robert isn't your biological father." David's head snapped up, his eyes wide.
"What are you talking about?"
"Your blood type, David," Emily said.
"You're O negative.
Robert is AB positive."
"That's impossible.
He can't be your father." David's hands trembled as he held the paper.
That doesn't make sense."
"It does if Margaret has been lying to everyone for years," Emily said.
Her voice softened.
"David, I know you were angry.
I know you felt betrayed. But I didn't do anything wrong. This isn't about me.
This is about your family." David's face contorted with disbelief and anger.
"My mother? You think she?"
"I don't think." "I know," Emily said, her voice rising.
"And deep down, I think you know it too.
You saw her reaction when your father confronted me. She knew this would come out eventually." David shook his head, stepping back.
"I can't. I can't deal with this right now."
"David, listen to me," Emily pleaded. "Your father is the one who destroyed our family, not me. And your mother, she's hiding something.
You need to confront them."
David ran a hand through his hair, his mind racing. Finally, he nodded, his jaw tightening.
"Fine. We'll go together. I want answers."
That evening, David and Emily arrived at his parents' home. The tension was palpable as they stepped through the door. Margaret greeted them with forced politeness, but her eyes darted nervously to Robert, who sat in his usual chair, a glass of whiskey in hand.
"What's this about?" Robert asked, his tone wary.
David held up the paper Emily had shown him. "This," he said, his voice cold. "We need to talk about this." Robert's eyes narrowed as he read the paper.
"What is this nonsense?"
"It's not nonsense," David snapped.
"It's science.
You can't be my father." Margaret's face went pale, her hand clutching the back of the couch for support. Robert turned to her, his expression darkening.
"Margaret? What is he talking about?"
Margaret opened her mouth, but no words came out. The room was heavy with silence, the kind that only comes before a storm. "Mom," David said, his voice trembling with anger.
"Tell me the truth. Is he my father or not?"
Margaret looked at David, then at Robert, and for the first time, her carefully constructed mask cracked. Tears welled in her eyes as she whispered, "I can explain." Chapter 4, Unraveling Secrets. The silence in the room was deafening, broken only by the faint ticking of the clock on the wall. David stood frozen, the weight of his mother's words crashing down on him like a tidal wave. Emily stayed close but silent, her presence a quiet reminder that they were here together, seeking the truth. Robert's face twisted in confusion and anger. "What the hell do you mean, I can explain?" he snapped, his voice low and dangerous. Margaret's hands trembled as she clutched the back of the couch. Her carefully composed demeanor had shattered, revealing the cracks beneath. She opened her mouth to speak, but no sound came out.
"Say something,"
David shouted, his voice cracking.
"Tell me what's going on. Are you saying he's not my father?"
Margaret flinched at the pain in his voice.
"David, please let me explain."
"Explain what?" Robert barked, rising to his feet.
"Are you telling me you cheated on me? Is that what this is?"
Tears streamed down Margaret's face as she shook her head.
"It wasn't like that," she whispered. "It wasn't supposed to happen."
"Not supposed to happen?" David repeated, his voice filled with disbelief.
"Mom, what does that even mean?"
Margaret sank into the couch, her shoulders slumping as though the weight of the truth had finally become too much to bear. She wiped her eyes and took a deep breath, her voice trembling as she spoke.
"It was a long time ago," she began.
"David, you have to understand, your father and I were going through a rough patch.
He was always working late, always so distant. I felt invisible."
Robert let out a bitter laugh, his hands clenched into fists.
"So that's your excuse? You felt invisible, so you decided to screw someone else?"
Margaret winced but didn't respond to the venom in his voice. She turned to David, her eyes pleading.
"I didn't plan it, David. It just happened. There was a man, a co-worker. We got close. Too close. And one night, I made a mistake."
David took a step back, his legs threatening to give out beneath him.
"You're saying this man is my real father?"
Margaret nodded, her face crumpling.
"I didn't know for sure at first. But when you were born, when I saw your blood type, I knew.
Robert couldn't be your biological father." Robert's face was a mask of fury and betrayal.
"And you didn't think to tell me?
You let me believe he was my son for all these years." Margaret stood, her own anger flaring.
"What was I supposed to do, Robert? Ruin our family? Tell you I'd made the biggest mistake of my life? I loved you, and I didn't want to lose you. I thought if I kept it a secret, we could move past it."
"Move past it?" Robert roared. "You built our entire family on a lie. You let me raise a son who isn't mine, and you never thought I deserved to know." David's head was spinning. The ground beneath him felt unsteady, like he was standing on the edge of a cliff.
"Who is he?" he demanded, his voice trembling with barely contained rage. "Who's my real father?"
Margaret hesitated, her lips trembling. "His name was Peter," she said finally.
"Peter Langston. He moved away shortly after you were born. I haven't seen or heard from him since."
David's chest heaved as he tried to process this information.
"You've known all this time, and you didn't think I had the right to know? I was trying to protect you,"
Margaret cried.
"You were happy, David. You had a father who loved you.
I didn't want to take that away from you. But you did take it away, David said, his voice hollow. You took away my chance to know who I really am.
Emily watched the scene unfold, her heart aching for David. She had come here to clear her name, but the truth she had uncovered was far more devastating than she had anticipated. She reached out to touch David's arm, but he pulled away, his face a mask of pain and confusion.
I need some air, he muttered, turning and walking out the front door.
Emily hesitated for a moment before following him, leaving Margaret and Robert to continue their bitter argument. Outside, the night air was cool and crisp, offering little comfort to the storm raging inside David. He leaned against the porch railing, his head in his hands.
I don't even know who I am anymore, he said, his voice barely above a whisper.
Emily placed a hand on his back, her touch gentle.
You're still you, David. This doesn't change that.
David let out a bitter laugh.
Doesn't it?
My whole life has been a lie. The man I've called my father for 35 years isn't even my real dad.
How am I supposed to deal with that?
Emily hesitated, choosing her words carefully.
I can't imagine what you're feeling right now.
But I do know this, you're a good man. You're a good husband and a good father. Timmy needs you to be strong.
David's shoulders sagged. I don't even know if I can look at them, either of them.
My mother lied to me my entire life.
My dad, he paused, shaking his head. I don't even know what to call him anymore.
Emily stepped closer, her voice firm.
Robert raised you. He may not be your biological father, but he's been your dad your whole life.
That has to count for something.
David was silent for a long moment before nodding slowly.
Maybe you're right. But I can't just let this go. I need answers.
Inside, the tension between Robert and Margaret had reached a boiling point.
Robert paced the room, his face red with fury.
You made a fool of me, he said, his voice shaking.
You made a fool of both of us.
Margaret looked at him, her eyes filled with tears.
I'm sorry, Robert. I never meant to hurt you. I didn't know how to fix it.
Robert shook his head, his voice cold.
You didn't even try.
You let this lie fester for decades, and now look where we are.
The sound of the front door opening interrupted their argument.
David and Emily stepped inside, their expressions somber but determined.
I want to know everything, David said, his voice firm.
No more lies. No more secrets. I want the truth.
Margaret looked at him, her face crumpling.
I'll tell you everything, she whispered.
You deserve that much.
Chapter 5. The Weight of Truth. The living room felt suffocating. The air was thick with tension, each member of the family trapped in a storm of emotions too overwhelming to escape.
David stood with his arms crossed, his expression a mixture of anger, betrayal, and a desperate need for answers.
Emily sat on the arm of the couch, her presence quiet but firm, a silent anchor for David in the chaos.
Margaret sat across from him, her face streaked with tears, while Robert loomed by the fireplace, his jaw clenched so tightly it seemed it might snap.
Start from the beginning, David said, his voice low and tightly controlled.
I want to know everything.
Who is Peter Langston, and how did this happen?
Margaret wiped her eyes and took a deep, shuddering breath.
Peter was someone I worked with, years before you were born, she began, her voice trembling.
He wasn't just a co-worker. He was a friend.
We worked late together, shared stories about our lives.
I thought it was innocent.
But it wasn't, Robert interjected coldly, his glare burning into her.
Was it?
Margaret flinched but continued, her voice steadier now.
One night, we were working late on a project.
Robert, you were out of town on business.
I was lonely and Peter. He was there.
He listened when I talked about feeling invisible, about how distant things had gotten between us.
So you slept with him, David said, his voice flat.
It wasn't a question.
Margaret's eyes welled with fresh tears.
It wasn't planned.
It was a mistake, one I regretted immediately. I told Peter it couldn't happen again, and we agreed to keep things professional.
I thought that was the end of it.
Robert let out a bitter laugh.
And yet, here we are.
Margaret turned to him, her face crumpling.
I didn't know I was pregnant until weeks later.
And even then, I convinced myself it was your child.
I wanted it to be your child, Robert.
I told myself I could bury what had happened and move on.
David's voice cut through the room like a blade. But it wasn't his child. You knew that as soon as I was born. Margaret nodded, her face pale. When I saw your blood type, I knew. But by then, Peter was gone. He'd moved across the country for a new job. And Robert. He was so happy to be a father. I didn't have the heart to tell him the truth. Robert slammed his fist against the mantel, making Margaret jump. You didn't have the heart? You didn't have the heart? You let me live a lie for 35 years, Margaret. 35 years. Margaret sobbed, her shoulders shaking. I was scared, Robert. I was scared of losing you, of losing our family. I thought if I kept the secret, we could still be happy. David shook his head, his hands balling into fists. You didn't just lie to Dad. You lied to me. You stole my chance to know my real father. Margaret's face crumpled. I know, David. And I'm sorry. I was selfish, and I was wrong. But I loved you, both of you. I still do. Love doesn't justify this, David snapped. Love doesn't erase 35 years of lies. Emily, who had been silent until now, spoke up, her voice calm but firm. Margaret, did Peter ever know? Did he know David was his son? Margaret hesitated, then shook her head. No. I never told him. He moved away before I had the chance. And after you were born, I decided it was better that way. David let out a bitter laugh. Better for who? For you. For all of us. Margaret cried. You had a good childhood, David. You had a father who loved you. I didn't want to take that away from you. You didn't want to take it away, Robert said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. But you were fine with taking my trust, my pride, and my entire sense of family. Margaret turned to him, her face desperate. Robert, I know I hurt you. I know I betrayed you. But please, don't throw away everything we've built. We've been married for 40 years. Doesn't that count for something? Robert stared at her, his expression unreadable. It used to. But now, I'm not sure what's real anymore. As the argument continued, David felt like he was watching his family disintegrate before his eyes. His parents, once the pillars of stability in his life, were now exposed as deeply flawed and broken. The weight of their betrayal pressed down on him, threatening to crush him. I can't do this, David said suddenly, his voice raw. I need to get out of here. David, wait, Margaret began, but he held up a hand to stop her. I don't want to hear it, he said, his voice cracking. I need time to process this. Emily followed him to the door, her heart aching as she watched him struggle to hold himself together. David, she said softly, placing a hand on his arm. You don't have to do this alone. David shook his head, his eyes filled with pain. I don't even know who I am anymore, Emily. How am I supposed to be there for you and Timmy when I can't even figure that out? Emily's heart broke for him, but she refused to let him push her away. We'll figure it out together, she said firmly. You don't have to face this alone. David looked at her, his eyes searching hers for a moment before he nodded. Okay. Let's go. The drive back to the motel was silent, the weight of the evening hanging heavily between them. When they arrived, Emily put Timmy to bed while David sat at the small table, his head in his hands. What do I do now? He asked quietly as Emily sat down across from him. You take it one step at a time, she said. Start by finding Peter. He deserves to know the truth, and so do you. David looked at her, his eyes filled with a mixture of fear and determination. What if he doesn't want anything to do with me? Then that's his choice, Emily said. But at least you'll know. And at least you'll have tried. David nodded slowly, a spark of resolve igniting in his chest. You're right. I need to find him. Emily reached across the table and took his hand. And I'll be with you every step of the way. Chapter 6, Searching for Peter. The morning light filtered through the thin curtains of the motel room, casting soft shadows on the walls. David sat at the small desk, staring at his laptop screen. He had barely slept, his mind consumed by the revelations of the previous night. Emily stirred on the bed behind him, her movements slow and careful as not to disturb Timmy, who was still sound asleep. You're up early, Emily said softly, padding over to the desk. Her hair was slightly disheveled, and the exhaustion in her eyes mirrored his own. I couldn't sleep, David replied, his voice hoarse. He gestured to the screen.
I've been trying to find him, Peter Langston. But so far, nothing. Emily leaned over his shoulder, scanning the search results. Most were irrelevant: a realtor in Chicago, a dentist in Seattle, a retired professor in Florida. None of them seemed to fit.
Maybe he's not on social media, Emily suggested. Or maybe he changed his name.
David ran a hand through his hair, frustrated.
If he's out there, I'll find him. I need to know the truth.
Emily placed a reassuring hand on his shoulder.
We'll find him. But it might take time.
By midday, David had exhausted the most obvious avenues: Google searches, social media platforms, and online directories. He sat back in his chair, rubbing his temples as a headache began to form.
Emily, sensing his frustration, took over the search, her fingers flying across the keyboard.
What about a public records database? She suggested. We could try looking for old property records or job histories.
David nodded, his hope rekindled.
Yeah, that might work.
Together, they scoured a database, narrowing the search to the city and company Margaret had mentioned from years ago. After an hour of digging, Emily let out a small gasp.
Here, she said, pointing to the screen.
Peter Langston. He worked at the same company as Margaret until 35 years ago. Looks like he moved to California after that.
David leaned forward, his pulse quickening.
Does it say where in California?
Emily clicked on a link, her eyes scanning the page.
Los Angeles.
He worked there for a few years, then. Looks like he started his own consulting firm.
David grabbed a pen and jotted down the address.
It's a lead. It's something.
Emily smiled softly.
We'll figure this out. That afternoon, David and Emily packed up their things and checked out of the motel.
David couldn't bring himself to return to his parents' house, not after everything that had happened.
Instead, they decided to rent a small apartment nearby, giving them space to breathe and focus on their next steps.
Timmy, blissfully unaware of the turmoil around him, clung to Emily as they settled into their new space.
David watched them from the kitchen, his heart heavy with a mix of guilt and determination. He had failed Emily once by not standing by her when his parents turned against her. He wasn't going to fail her again. Over the next few days, David threw himself into the search for Peter.
Emily continued to support him, offering suggestions and helping with Timmy while he worked.
The closer he got to uncovering the truth, the more determined he became.
Finally, after days of effort, David found what he was looking for: a current address for Peter Langston.
The listing was for a modest home in a quiet suburb of Los Angeles.
David stared at the address, his hands shaking.
This is it, he said quietly. This is where he is.
Emily sat beside him, her expression a mix of encouragement and concern.
Are you ready for this?
David hesitated, his mind racing with questions.
What if Peter didn't remember Margaret? What if he refused to acknowledge him?
Or worse, what if he wasn't the man David thought he might be?
I don't know, David admitted. But I have to try.
Emily nodded.
We'll go together. You don't have to do this alone.
The flight to Los Angeles was quiet, each of them lost in their own thoughts.
Timmy chattered excitedly about the plane ride, oblivious to the gravity of the trip.
David couldn't help but envy his innocence.
He wished he could protect Timmy from the harsh realities of life, but he knew that shielding him from the truth would only cause more harm in the long run.
When they arrived at the address, David's heart pounded in his chest.
The house was modest but well-kept, with a neatly trimmed lawn and a small garden in the front.
David hesitated at the gate, his palms sweaty as he stared at the door.
You can do this, Emily said softly, squeezing his hand.
I'm right here.
Taking a deep breath, David walked up to the door and rang the bell.
The sound echoed in the quiet neighborhood, each second feeling like an eternity.
Finally, the door opened, and an older man stood before them. His hair was silver, his face lined with age, but his eyes were sharp and kind.
He looked at David with mild curiosity, then at Emily and Timmy.
Can I help you? The man asked, his voice warm but cautious.
David swallowed hard, his mouth suddenly dry.
Are you Peter Langston?
The man frowned slightly but nodded.
Yes. Who's asking?
David hesitated, then took a step forward.
My name is David. I think you might be my father.
Peter's eyes widened in shock, his hand gripping the doorframe for support.
What? What are you talking about?
David glanced at Emily, who nodded encouragingly. Turning back to Peter, he began to explain. My mother, Margaret. She worked with you years ago, back in New York. She told me about the time you spent together. About what happened between you. Peter's expression softened, his shock giving way to understanding. Margaret, he murmured, almost to himself.
It's been so long.
David pulled the DNA results from his bag and handed them to Peter.
I didn't know until recently. My mother. She never told me. But the science doesn't lie. You're my biological father.
Peter stared at the paper, his hands trembling. He looked up at David, his eyes filled with a mixture of regret and disbelief.
I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything, David said quickly.
I needed to know. I needed to meet you.
Peter nodded slowly, stepping back to open the door wider.
Come in, he said.
We have a lot to talk about. Chapter 7, A Father's Silence. The small living room was cozy and inviting, with walls painted in warm earth tones and shelves lined with books and framed photographs. Peter gestured for them to sit, his movements hesitant and awkward. David glanced at the pictures on the shelves, noting several of Peter with a woman who appeared to be his wife, as well as a few of a young man and woman who looked like they might be Peter's children. Half-siblings, David thought, the realization sending a strange pang through his chest.
Can I get you something? Water? Coffee?
Peter asked, his voice tight.
No, thank you, David said quickly, though his throat was dry.
He could feel Emily's reassuring presence beside him, but it did little to ease the tension in his chest. Peter sat across from them, his hands clasped tightly together. He looked at David with a mixture of curiosity, guilt, and a flicker of something that might have been recognition.
So, Peter began, his voice heavy, Margaret told you about us?
David nodded, his jaw tightening.
Not until last week.
She told me everything, about your relationship, about what happened between you. And she told me she's known since the day I was born that you're my biological father. Peter's face crumpled, and he leaned forward, his elbows on his knees.
I had no idea. She never told me.
She didn't tell anyone, David said, his voice tinged with bitterness.
Not me.
Not my father, the man who raised me.
No one.
Peter's eyes filled with regret. If I had known. If she had told me, I would have, he paused, his voice breaking.
I don't know what I would have done. But I wouldn't have ignored it. I wouldn't have ignored you.
David's chest tightened at Peter's words. He wanted to believe him, but the years of lies and secrecy made it difficult to trust anyone.
Why didn't you ever reach out to her?
After you left, why didn't you stay in touch? Peter sighed, his gaze dropping to the floor.
It was complicated. I got a job offer in California, a big opportunity.
Margaret and I, we had already decided to end things.
It was a mistake, and we both knew it. I thought it was better to move on.
But you didn't just move on, David said, his voice rising.
You disappeared.
You left without a second thought, and now here I am, 35 years later, trying to piece my life together.
I didn't know.
Peter said, his voice cracking.
I didn't know, David.
If I had, I would have been there for you.
I swear.
Emily placed a hand on David's arm, her touch grounding him. David, she said softly, he's trying to explain. David took a deep breath, his anger simmering just below the surface.
It's a lot to process.
My entire life, I thought I knew who I was.
I thought I knew my family. And now everything feels wrong.
Peter nodded, his expression somber.
I understand. And I'm sorry, David. I truly am. I can't imagine what this has been like for you.
David studied Peter's face, searching for answers in the lines and wrinkles of a man he had only just met but who shared his blood.
What about now? He asked. What happens now? Do you even want to be a part of my life?
Peter looked startled by the question.
Of course I do, he said quickly. If you'll let me, I want to get to know you.
I want to make up for lost time, as much as I can. David leaned back in his chair, his emotions swirling.
It's not just me you'd be getting to know, he said, glancing at Emily and then at Timmy, who was playing quietly on the carpet.
That's my wife, Emily, and my son, Timmy. They're part of this too. Peter's gaze softened as he looked at Timmy, a small smile tugging at the corners of his lips. "He's a handsome boy," he said. "You must be very proud."
David's throat tightened, and he nodded. "I am."
The conversation shifted as Peter asked about David's life. His childhood, his career, his family. David spoke cautiously at first, unsure of how much to share, but as the hours passed, he found himself opening up. Peter listened intently, his expressions of pride and interest genuine, and for a moment, David allowed himself to imagine what it might have been like to grow up with this man as his father. As the afternoon turned into evening, Peter's wife, Laura, returned home. Her surprise at finding strangers in her living room quickly gave way to understanding as Peter explained the situation. She greeted David and Emily warmly, her kindness a balm to the tension that had lingered in the air. "Dinner's already cooking," Laura said with a smile.
"You're all welcome to stay and join us."
David hesitated, glancing at Emily. She nodded subtly, encouraging him.
"We'd like that," he said finally.
The dinner table was filled with conversation and laughter, the atmosphere surprisingly light given the weight of the day. Laura asked questions about Timmy, sharing stories about her own children, who were now grown and living on their own. Peter spoke about his career and the path that had led him to California, filling in gaps that David hadn't even known existed. For the first time in days, David felt a sense of peace. It wasn't complete, and it wasn't without complications, but it was a start. As they prepared to leave that evening, Peter pulled David aside. "I want to be a part of your life," he said earnestly. "Whatever that looks like, however long it takes, I'm here." David looked at him, the weight of the past and the possibilities of the future heavy on his shoulders.
"I don't know what that looks like yet," he admitted. "But I'm willing to try."
Peter nodded, his expression one of quiet determination.
"That's all I can ask."
The drive back to the hotel was quiet, the city lights flashing by in a blur. Emily reached over and took David's hand, her fingers intertwining with his.
"You did the right thing," she said softly. "I'm proud of you."
David glanced at her, his heart swelling with gratitude.
"I couldn't have done it without you."
As they pulled into the hotel parking lot, David felt a flicker of hope for the first time in days. The path ahead was uncertain, but he was ready to face it, one step at a time. Chapter 8, Fractured Bridges. Back in the rented apartment, the weight of the meeting with Peter hung in the air like a thick fog. David sat at the small dining table, staring at his phone. His emotions were a tangled mess of relief, curiosity, anger, and lingering betrayal. Emily watched him from the kitchen, her hands busy washing dishes but her eyes flicking to him every few moments.
"You're thinking about calling him, aren't you?"
Emily asked gently, breaking the silence. David looked up, startled.
"Who?"
"Your mom," Emily said, turning to face him. "You want to know why she never told Peter the truth." David sighed, running a hand through his hair.
"I don't even know what I'd say.
Part of me wants to scream at her.
The other part. I don't even know if I can look at her right now."
Emily dried her hands and walked over, sitting across from him.
"I think you need closure, David. For yourself, not for her.
You deserve to hear her side of the story, even if it doesn't make sense." David nodded slowly, her words resonating.
"You're right. I need answers."
The next morning, David called Margaret. The phone rang several times before she picked up, her voice hesitant.
"David," she said softly. "I didn't expect to hear from you."
David's grip tightened on the phone.
"We need to talk. In person."
Margaret hesitated.
"Is that a good idea? After everything?"
"It's not up for debate, Mom," David said firmly.
"I'll be at the house in an hour."
Margaret sighed, the weight of her guilt evident in her voice.
"All right. I'll be here."
When David arrived at the house, the sight of it felt strangely foreign. This was the home where he had grown up, where he had built a lifetime of memories. Yet now, it felt like a shell of its former self, tainted by the lies that had come to light. Margaret greeted him at the door, her face pale and drawn.
"Come in," she said quietly, stepping aside to let him in.
David entered the living room, his eyes scanning the familiar space. It felt smaller than he remembered, as if the walls were closing in. He sat on the couch, refusing Margaret's offer of coffee.
"You've had your whole life to prepare for this conversation," David said,
his voice cold. "So start talking." Margaret sat across from him, her hands folded tightly in her lap.
"I don't know where to start."
"Start with why," David said sharply. "Why didn't you tell Peter the truth?
Why didn't you tell me?"
Margaret took a deep breath, her hands shaking. "When I found out I was pregnant, I was terrified. I knew there was a chance Peter was the father, but I didn't want to believe it. I thought if I ignored it, it would go away."
David scoffed.
"Ignored it? Mom, you built our entire family on a lie."
"I know," Margaret said, tears brimming in her eyes.
"I know I was wrong, David. But I was scared. I loved Robert, and I didn't want to lose him.
And you? You were just a baby. I wanted to give you a stable home, a happy family."
David's voice rose. "A stable home built on lies. You took away my right to know who I am, to know where I come from.
You stole that from me, Mom."
Margaret flinched, her tears spilling over.
"I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was protecting you."
"Protecting me?" David said bitterly.
"Or protecting yourself?"
Margaret didn't answer, her sobs shaking her shoulders. David stood, pacing the room as his anger simmered. "What about Peter?" he asked, his voice calmer but no less pointed.
"Didn't he deserve to know?
Didn't he have a right to decide if he wanted to be part of my life?" Margaret wiped her eyes, looking up at him.
"I thought I was sparing him, too. He had just started a new life in California. I didn't want to burden him with something that would only complicate his life."
David stared at her, his jaw clenched.
"You don't get to make that decision for him.
Or for me.
You took away choices that weren't yours to take."
Margaret's shoulders sagged, her guilt written plainly on her face.
"I know I can't undo the damage I've caused. But I hope someday you can forgive me."
David shook his head, his emotions too raw to offer forgiveness.
"I don't know if I can."
As he left the house, David felt no sense of closure, only a deep exhaustion. The conversation had dredged up years of buried resentment and left him feeling hollow. He got into his car and sat there for a long moment, staring at the steering wheel. When he returned to the apartment, Emily was waiting for him. She opened the door and immediately pulled him into a hug. David buried his face in her shoulder, his frustration spilling over in silent tears.
"How did it go?"
Emily asked softly.
David shook his head.
"It didn't.
She's sorry, but sorry doesn't change anything.
It doesn't erase the lies."
Emily held him tightly, her voice steady.
"You don't have to forgive her right now.
Or ever.
But you've confronted her, and that's a step forward."
David nodded, though the ache in his chest remained.
I don't know how to move past this."
Emily pulled back, looking him in the eyes.
"One day at a time.
And you're not alone in this.
We'll figure it out together." The following day, David received a call from Peter. His voice was hesitant but warm.
"David, I've been thinking about our conversation.
There's something I want to show you."
"What is it?"
David asked, his curiosity piqued.
"It's easier to explain in person," Peter said.
"Can you come by tomorrow?"
David agreed, his mind racing with possibilities. As he hung up, he turned to Emily, his expression a mix of anticipation and uncertainty.
"What do you think he wants to show me?"
David asked.
Emily shrugged, her smile reassuring.
"Only one way to find out."
Chapter 9, A Father's Legacy. David stood on Peter's doorstep once again, the late morning sun casting long shadows across the quiet neighborhood. He had barely slept the night before, his mind racing with questions about what Peter might want to show him. Emily had reassured him repeatedly, her unwavering support a steady anchor in the storm of his emotions. Now, standing here, he felt the weight of uncertainty pressing on his chest. The door opened before he could knock, and Peter greeted him with a warm but nervous smile.
"David," he said, stepping aside.
"Come in."
David entered the house, the same cozy living room that had felt so foreign just days ago. Now, there was a familiarity to it, as though he was stepping into a chapter of his life he hadn't realized was missing.
"I appreciate you coming," Peter said, leading David toward the dining table. A stack of old photo albums and a few faded envelopes lay neatly arranged.
"What is all this?"
David asked, eyeing the items. Peter motioned for him to sit.
"It's, well, it's my life," he said with a soft chuckle.
Or at least, parts of it. I realized after you left the other day that you might want to know more about where you come from.
David's chest tightened. For so long, he had felt adrift, his sense of identity shattered by the truth about his parentage. Now, here was Peter, offering him a lifeline.
Peter opened the first album, revealing black and white photos of a younger version of himself, surrounded by friends and family.
"This is where I grew up," Peter said, pointing to a small house in one of the photos. "A little town in upstate New York. My parents were farmers. Hardworking, salt-of-the-earth people."
David leaned in, studying the images.
"It's strange," he admitted. "Looking at these pictures and knowing this is part of me."
Peter nodded, his expression thoughtful.
"It's a lot to take in. I can only imagine how overwhelming this must be."
They moved through the albums together, Peter narrating stories of his childhood, his college years, and the early days of his career. David found himself captivated, drawn into a world that felt both foreign and familiar. As they finished the last album, Peter reached for one of the envelopes.
"This," he said, holding it up, "is a letter I wrote to your mother years ago. I never sent it."
David's brows furrowed.
"A letter?"
Peter nodded, unfolding the paper.
"I wrote it after I moved to California. I wanted to reach out, to see how she was doing. But I was afraid. I didn't know if it would make things worse, so I kept it."
David took the letter, his hands trembling slightly. The words were faded but legible, a mix of regret and longing woven into the sentences.
"Margaret, I hope this letter finds you well. I've thought about you often since I left New York. There are so many things I wish I had said before I went, but I didn't have the courage. You were always a light in my life, even if our time together was brief. I hope you found happiness, and that you know I'll always be grateful for the time we shared."
David handed the letter back, his throat tight.
"You cared about her."
Peter sighed, running a hand through his silver hair.
"I did. But I was young and foolish. I thought leaving was the best thing for both of us."
David nodded slowly, his mind swirling with thoughts.
"Do you regret it? Not staying, I mean."
Peter hesitated, his gaze fixed on the letter.
"I regret not knowing you. I regret not being there for you. But I don't know if things would have been better if I had stayed.
Your mother. She made her choice, just like I made mine." As the day wore on, Peter shared more stories, introducing David to the parts of his life he had missed. They talked about Peter's other children, David's half-siblings, and the challenges and triumphs Peter had faced over the years.
"I'd like to meet them someday," David said cautiously, unsure of how Peter would respond.
Peter's face lit up with a smile.
"I'd like that too. I think they'd love to meet you."
The warmth in Peter's voice eased some of the tension in David's chest. For the first time in weeks, he felt a glimmer of hope, a sense that maybe, just maybe, he could begin to piece his life back together. That evening, as David prepared to leave, Peter handed him a small box.
"This is for you," he said. "Something I've kept for a long time."
David opened the box, revealing a silver pocket watch. It was intricately designed, the metal worn smooth with age. An inscription on the back read, "To Peter, with love.
Dad."
"It was my father's," Peter explained. "He gave it to me when I was about your age.
I'd like you to have it."
David's throat tightened as he held the watch.
I don't know what to say."
Peter smiled.
"You don't have to say anything. Just know that it's yours now."
David nodded, his emotions threatening to overwhelm him.
"Thank you."
As he drove back to the apartment, the pocket watch resting in his lap, David felt a strange sense of peace. His journey wasn't over, and the wounds in his family were far from healed. But for the first time, he felt like he had found a piece of himself he hadn't even known was missing.
Chapter 10, Healing Fragments.
The days following his meeting with Peter were a whirlwind of emotion for David. Returning to the apartment with Emily and Timmy, he felt a cautious optimism creeping in, a fragile but welcome change from the despair that had consumed him since discovering the truth about his family. Peter had given him more than a glimpse into his past. He had given him a new foundation to build on. Emily watched him carefully, sensing the subtle shift in his demeanor. "You seem lighter," she said one evening as they sat together on the couch, Timmy asleep in his room. David glanced at her, a small smile tugging at his lips.
"I think I am.
meeting Peter. It helped. He's not perfect, but he's honest. And I needed that.
Emily nodded, her hand resting on his.
So, what's next?
David hesitated, his thoughts turning to his parents, Margaret and Robert. I can't ignore what happened with my mom. And I can't pretend things are fine with my dad. I owe it to myself to face them, even if it's hard.
Emily squeezed his hand. You're stronger than you think, David. Whatever happens, I'll be right here.
2 days later, David stood on the porch of his parents' home once again, the weight of unresolved emotions heavy in his chest. He rang the doorbell, the sound echoing through the quiet neighborhood. The door opened, and Robert stood there, his face lined with exhaustion. David, he said gruffly, stepping aside to let him in.
I wasn't sure I'd see you again.
David stepped into the familiar living room, the scent of coffee and old wood stirring memories of his childhood. Margaret was sitting on the couch, her hands clasped tightly in her lap. She looked up as he entered, her eyes red and weary.
David, she said softly. I'm so glad you're here.
He nodded but didn't sit.
We need to talk.
All of us. Robert gestured to the armchair, but David shook his head.
I'll stand. I need you to listen.
Margaret and Robert exchanged a glance, the tension between them palpable. David took a deep breath, steadying himself. You both lied to me, he began, his voice steady but firm. 4 years, you let me believe I had a normal, stable family. And then, when the truth came out, you turned on each other, and on Emily. Margaret flinched, her eyes filling with tears.
David, I'm so sorry.
Let me finish, David said, cutting her off.
I understand why you did it, Mom. I don't agree with it, but I understand.
You were scared, and you thought keeping the secret was the best way to protect us.
But it wasn't.
All it did was create a ticking time bomb that exploded in our faces. Margaret wiped her eyes, nodding silently. And Dad, David continued, turning to Robert.
You were hurt. I get that.
But you didn't just lash out at Mom, you lashed out at Emily and Timmy. You let your anger control you, and you nearly destroyed the family we had left. Robert's face tightened, his jaw clenching.
I was angry, David. I felt betrayed.
And so did I, David said sharply.
But Emily didn't betray anyone.
She was an innocent bystander, and you treated her like she was the one who lied. Robert looked away, his expression conflicted.
You're right, he admitted after a long pause. I was wrong. I let my anger blind me, and I took it out on the wrong person. I owe her an apology.
David nodded, his anger giving way to a flicker of hope.
That's a start.
The conversation lasted for hours, each of them unpacking years of resentment, guilt, and pain. Margaret spoke about the fear that had driven her decisions, while Robert admitted his struggle to reconcile the truth with the life he thought he had built. For the first time, they listened to each other. Not to argue but to understand. By the time David left, the weight on his chest had lessened. There were no easy fixes, no perfect resolutions, but there was a sense of progress. The fractures in their family wouldn't heal overnight, but they were beginning to mend. A week later, the family gathered at David and Emily's apartment. Peter and Laura joined them, along with Margaret and Robert. It was an awkward reunion, filled with tentative smiles and hesitant conversations, but it was a step forward. Timmy, oblivious to the tension, played happily in the living room, his laughter breaking the ice in ways words never could. As the evening wore on, the atmosphere began to lighten, the barriers between them slowly crumbling. Toward the end of the night, Peter approached Robert, his expression earnest. I know this isn't easy for either of us, he said. But I want you to know I respect the life you've built with David. You raised him to be a good man, and I'll always be grateful for that. Robert hesitated, his pride warring with his emotions. Finally, he extended a hand.
Thank you, he said gruffly. That means a lot.
The two men shook hands, a tentative truce forming between them. As the guests began to leave, David stood in the doorway, watching the people who had shaped his life. His parents, his biological father, his wife, and his son. The road ahead was still uncertain, but for the first time in weeks, he felt a sense of hope. Emily slipped her hand into his, her smile warm.
How are you feeling?
Better, David said honestly. It's not perfect, but it's a start.
Emily leaned her head against his shoulder. That's all we need.
As the night settled around them, David held onto that thought, ready to face whatever came next. Chapter 11, Shadows of Doubt. The weeks following the tentative reunion were a mix of progress and unease. David worked hard to maintain a fragile balance between the old and new parts of his life. His relationship with Peter grew steadily, each conversation revealing new facets of the man who had unknowingly shaped his existence. Yet, the uneasiness with his parents lingered like a shadow, never entirely dissipating. One afternoon, David found himself back at his parents' home. Margaret had invited him over for lunch, a gesture he cautiously accepted. The house felt different now, less like the safe haven of his childhood and more like a space haunted by unspoken truths. As he sat at the kitchen table, Margaret placed a steaming plate of pasta in front of him, her movements nervous and deliberate.
"Thank you," David said, his tone polite but distant.
Margaret sat across from him, her hands folded tightly on the table.
"I'm glad you came. I've missed you."
David nodded but didn't reply. He focused on his food, avoiding her gaze. The silence stretched between them until Margaret cleared her throat.
"I've been thinking a lot about what you said," she began. "About the choices I made. And you're right, I was wrong to keep the truth from you. I should have told you, and I should have told Peter. I can't change the past, but I want to make things right."
David looked up, his expression skeptical.
"How?"
Margaret hesitated. "I've been in touch with Peter. We've talked a few times since the reunion. He's a good man, David."
"I see that now."
David's eyebrows rose in surprise.
"You've been talking to him?"
"Yes," Margaret admitted, her voice soft. "I needed to apologize to him, too. He deserved to know the truth, just like you did." David leaned back in his chair, processing her words.
"And how did he take it?"
"He was kind," Margaret said, her voice thick with emotion. "More forgiving than I deserved. He told me he wants to focus on the future, on building a relationship with you. And I want to support that, David.
I really do."
Later that evening, David shared the conversation with Emily as they sat together on the couch. Timmy was asleep in his room, leaving them a rare moment of quiet.
"She's trying," Emily said, her tone thoughtful.
"That has to count for something." David sighed, rubbing the back of his neck.
"I know.
But it's hard to forget everything she put me through. Everything she put us through." Emily leaned against him, her voice gentle.
"Trust takes time, David. You don't have to forgive her all at once. But if she's making an effort, maybe that's a start."
David nodded, her words sinking in.
"I guess it is."
As the weeks passed, the family dynamics began to shift. Margaret and Peter established a cordial rapport, their shared regret forming an unlikely bond. Robert, though still wary of Peter, began to soften, his walls slowly coming down. For the first time in years, David felt a glimmer of hope that his family might find a way forward. But just as things seemed to be settling, a new complication emerged. One afternoon, while visiting Peter, David noticed a stack of legal documents on the dining table. Peter had been in the kitchen, pouring coffee, leaving David alone for a moment. His eyes caught the bold title on the top page, "Last Will and Testament of Peter Langston." David's stomach tightened as he read the first few lines. It wasn't the contents of the will that caught his attention, but a note scribbled in Peter's handwriting on the margin, "Update after meeting David.
Everything okay?"
Peter's voice startled him, and David quickly stepped back from the table.
"Yeah," David said, forcing a smile.
"I was just looking around." Peter set the coffee mugs down and joined him at the table.
"I've been working on updating some things," he said casually.
"Getting my affairs in order."
David's throat tightened. "Because of me?"
Peter paused, his expression thoughtful.
"In part, yes.
Meeting you has changed a lot for me, David. It's made me think about the kind of legacy I want to leave behind." David sat down, his heart heavy.
"You don't have to do anything for me, Peter. I didn't come into your life expecting anything."
"I know that," Peter said, his voice kind but firm.
"But you're my son. That means something to me."
The conversation lingered in David's mind long after he left Peter's house. While he appreciated Peter's sentiment, it also stirred a nagging sense of unease. His life had already been upended by the revelation of his biological father,
What would happen if Peter's actions created more tension within the family? Emily noticed his restlessness that evening and pressed him about it. "What's really bothering you?" she asked as they sat together in the living room. David hesitated, then told her about the will.
"I don't know why it's bothering me so much," he admitted. "Maybe it's because I've spent my whole life trying to make sense of who I am, and now everything feels so messy."
Emily placed a hand on his knee, her touch grounding him.
"It's okay to feel that way. Your world has been turned upside down, David. But don't let fear stop you from accepting the love people want to give you."
David nodded, her words sinking in.
"You're right. I need time to figure it all out."
As the days turned into weeks, David worked to navigate the complexities of his relationships. He spent more time with Peter, learning about his life and connecting with his half-siblings. He continued to rebuild trust with Margaret and Robert, though the scars of their betrayal remained. One evening, as he sat with Emily, Timmy asleep in his lap, he realized something profound. Despite the chaos, he wasn't alone. He had a wife who loved him, a son who adored him, and a growing network of people who cared about him. His journey was far from over, but for the first time, he felt ready to face whatever came next. Chapter 12: A New Foundation. The crisp autumn air carried a sense of renewal as David walked through the park with Timmy perched on his shoulders, giggling at the fluttering leaves. Emily strolled beside them, her hand brushing lightly against David's arm. It was one of the first truly peaceful moments they had shared as a family since their lives had been upended.
"Daddy, look! A squirrel!"
Timmy squealed, pointing enthusiastically at the small creature darting across the path. David chuckled, his heart warming at his son's joy.
"You've got good eyes, buddy."
Emily smiled at the interaction, her eyes soft with affection.
"He's been looking up to you more and more lately, you know."
David glanced at her, his expression thoughtful.
"I've been thinking a lot about what kind of example I want to set for him. He deserves a father who's strong but honest, someone who owns up to his mistakes and works to make things right."
Emily squeezed his arm.
"He already has that. And so do I."
Later that evening, David sat at the dining table, surrounded by photos and documents from Peter. It had become a quiet ritual for him to delve into this newfound history, piecing together the fragments of a life he had never known. There were photos of Peter's childhood, letters from his late parents, and even a family tree that stretched back generations. Margaret had visited earlier in the week, bringing with her a small box of mementos from David's childhood. Among the items was a letter she had written but never sent to Peter, a confession she had been too afraid to deliver. David had read it in silence, the raw emotion in her words stirring a mix of anger and compassion within him. As he stared at the scattered pieces of his history, David felt a sense of clarity. The past was messy, tangled with secrets and mistakes, but it didn't define who he was. He had the power to shape his own future, to choose what kind of man he wanted to be. The next morning, David called Peter.
"I'd like to meet my half-siblings," he said, his voice steady. "If they're open to it."
Peter's delight was evident even over the phone.
"I think they'd love that. I'll set something up."
A week later, David found himself sitting in a cozy cafe in Los Angeles, nervously awaiting the arrival of Peter's other children. Emily sat beside him, her presence a calming influence, while Peter waited at the counter, chatting amiably with the barista. When the door opened, David's heart skipped a beat. A tall man with dark hair and an easy smile walked in, followed closely by a woman with Peter's piercing eyes. They approached the table with curious but warm expressions.
"David?"
the man asked, extending a hand.
"I'm Mark. And this is Claire."
David stood, shaking their hands.
"It's good to meet you."
The conversation started hesitantly, each of them feeling out the unfamiliar dynamic. But as the minutes turned into hours, the tension eased, replaced by laughter and shared stories. Mark regaled them with tales of his mischievous childhood, while Claire spoke passionately about her work as a teacher. David found himself drawn to them, the connection feeling surprisingly natural. By the time they left the cafe, plans were already in place for their next meeting. David felt a sense of belonging he hadn't realized he had been missing. Back home, the family continued to heal. Robert and Margaret worked to rebuild their marriage, their shared guilt and love for David serving as a foundation for a fresh start. Peter became a consistent presence in David's life, offering guidance and support without overstepping his bounds. One evening, as David sat with Robert in the backyard, the older man cleared his throat awkwardly.
"I owe you an apology," Robert said, his voice gruff, "for how I handled things. For not standing by you and Emily when I should have."
David looked at him, surprised by the vulnerability in his father's eyes.
"You've always been my dad," David said softly.
"Biology doesn't change that. And I know this hasn't been easy for you." Robert nodded, his expression softening.
"I'm proud of the man you've become, David. And I'm sorry I let my anger get in the way of showing that."
The words, simple but heartfelt, brought a lump to David's throat.
"Thanks, Dad."
As the months passed, David found a new sense of balance in his life. He juggled his growing relationship with Peter and his siblings while strengthening the bonds with Margaret and Robert. Emily remained his rock, her unwavering love guiding him through the most difficult moments. One sunny afternoon, as the family gathered at the park for a picnic, David looked around at the people who had become his foundation. Timmy played happily with Mark and Claire, while Emily laughed with Laura and Margaret. Robert and Peter stood off to the side, their conversation surprisingly amicable. For the first time in what felt like forever, David felt whole. The journey had been painful and messy, but it had also brought him closer to the truth of who he was, and to the people who mattered most. As the sun began to set, painting the sky in hues of orange and pink, David wrapped an arm around Emily, pulling her close.
"Thank you," he said softly.
"For what?" she asked, smiling up at him.
"For being here. For believing in me, even when I didn't believe in myself."
Emily kissed his cheek, her voice warm.
"That's what family does."
David looked out at the scene before him, his heart full. He had faced the shadows of his past and come out stronger, ready to embrace the future with open arms.